Please rise and join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletins. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability.
Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each.
Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine."
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning.
No. This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before coming the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Thank you. Friends, emboldened, inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit, let us reach hand and heart out in love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Now share it with one another. So on this day of celebration, on this birthday of the church, I say to you, good morning. Brothers and sisters, in the name of the Spirit that sounds like the rush of a violent wind to dispel all fear, doubt, and anxiety, I welcome you. In the name of the Spirit that appears like a tongue of fire to whisper God's love song, to light our way and brighten our path, I welcome you. In the name of the Spirit that brings the gift of difference and diversity and binds them together in the beautiful tapestry of life, I welcome you. In the name of the Spirit who proclaims visions of the fullness of life, who pours out prophecies to water our dried out roots and places great signs in the heavens of salvation, I welcome you. In the name of the Spirit, the breath of God, the breath of life, the breath of deepest yearning, the comforter, the disturber, the interpreter, the enthuser, the lamplighter, the revealer of truth, the midwife of change. I welcome you just as you are and from wherever you have come to this place, a sanctuary in the midst of the troubled world, a family of pilgrims on the journey of life. Friends, welcome to the worship of God. May you find peace, joy, love, and whatever else you need, even if you do not know what that is. Welcome to worship. I also welcome you into the deeper life of the church. Here on Pentecost Sunday, we have placed this bright red announcements and invitation sheet in your bulletin that you dare not miss it. I would invite anyone who has an announcement to make to come forward to share theirs at this microphone. While they do, I have a couple of my own. First, if you're a visitor here, please fill out the pew card in your pew and leave it in the offering plate that we might know how to reach out after worship and say hello. And second, after our worship today and after our celebration in the Jonathan Edwards Room, the annual meeting of the Berkshire Association of the Massachusetts Conference of the United Church of Christ, try putting that on a business card, will hold its meeting in Williamstown today at 2:30. You're looking confused. I believe it's in Williamstown. We will look it up before you leave. We'll announce it at the party. Don is going. We'll make sure Don knows where he's going. And if any of you want to go with Don, let Don know, and you can head north in either case to make it for that meeting. Joanne.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Joanne from the Deacons Committee. And if you haven't already been aware, we now are posting prior sermons in the narthex, so you'll be able to pick up some past ones, especially for those of you who are new here. And for those who may have just missed a sermon a week or so ago, it's an excellent opportunity to catch up on the message. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Patty with the Music Committee, and I just wanted to once again, and I will continue every week until June 11th so that you dare not miss it. Music on Main, our performer will be Yi Jin Yuk. He's a student at Berkshire Music School, a student of Gene Stackhouse's. He's graduating this year and going off to college, and this will be his last performance here until he's back after college. But it's going to be amazing, so make sure it's on your calendar, Saturday, June 11th at 4 p.m. Thank you.
Good morning, Glenn Gilbert, moderator for the church. I'm standing in for our clerk who could not be with us this morning. We are a church of tradition and history, and I add my voice now to those members of the church regarding this following proclamation, that the First Congregational Church of Stockbridge Main Street in Stockbridge, Mass. To all members of the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, in accordance with bylaws of the church, I hereby call the annual meeting of the church for Sunday, May 22nd, 2016, immediately following worship. The business to be transacted is as follows: time of remembrance, to act upon scheduled business, which includes election of boards and officers of the church, reports and recognitions, the memorial garden, and to act upon any other business that may legally come before the meeting. You've now been verbally notified. This notice will be in print in the back if you need to take further notes from that. Thank you.
One last piece of information about that. I hope that when you came in today, you were handed a copy of the annual report. It is in a sort of light bluish green. Can someone hold it up? It's a sort of a blue. If you did not get a copy on your way in, there will be plenty of them on your way out. And so make sure you get it. The whole point is that you can read about the things we'll be discussing in advance and come prepared with any questions, thoughts, or congratulations. This is a time that was made for the worship of God, and we will proceed doing so with our time with the children. I would invite any of the kids who are here to come on forward and join me over here. All right, come on up. And I've just been told that there is a Grange dinner tonight. What time is that dinner? It's a luncheon dinner at 1 o'clock at the Grange. I've just been told an extra announcement. All right. So I have a really hard question for you this morning. So I need you to put on your thinking cap. So you think you're up for that? How many of you in this coming year are going to have a birthday? Raise your hand. Well, will you have another one by the time this day comes around next year? Yep, so you can put your hand up. How about out there? How many of you are going to have a birthday sometime this year? All right, so here's a question. How old are you going to be?
Eight.
How old are you?
Six. Next year I'm going to be 13, but I turn 12 in April.
All right. So I want somebody to share with me a really awesome birthday party you went to sometime. What's a great birthday party you went to at one point? Nobody's ever been to a good birthday party?
I went to a trampoline park in Albany.
Whoa, a trampoline park in Albany. Growth and Fellowship, that's an idea for next year for our all-church birthday party, trampolines. All right, what did you do?
I went to my brother's birthday.
Your brother's birthday, and that's what made it cool.
I went to New York and played laser tag.
New York and laser tag, all these great ideas.
Bowling, fun.
I had a Star Wars birthday party.
A Star Wars birthday party, how great. So there's a center point that happens at any birthday party. And it's a party that's gonna happen in our party as well. What's the highlight of any birthday party, though, no matter where you have it? Yeah.
Cake.
The cake, absolutely. So now, what do you do to the cake?
Eat it.
First, you have to cut it. Even before that, how do you decorate it? Yeah. With frosting, and then into the frosting of the cake, what do you put?
Candles.
Candles. How many candles do you put on the cake? You would put 10, okay. How old you are? All right, so if it's your 14th birthday, who's having a 14th birthday? If it's your 14th birthday, you put on 14 candles, right? Now, by those 14 candles, are you celebrating your 14th year? Are you looking forward or backwards by putting those candles on there? Do you know? Here's a little trick I'll teach you. When you're younger, you tend to look forward. When you're older, you tend to look backwards. It's just the way it works. Ask your parents about it if you don't understand. So here's the thing about birthdays that I want you to remember, an important thing about Pentecost is the church's birthday, which is that birthdays actually are one of those times where we celebrate both what has been and what will be. When the disciples gathered on Pentecost, they were observing an ancient old holiday, a religious holiday that already was called Pentecost. They were gathered together to celebrate what had been. It's kind of like looking back at the year that had been. But then the Spirit showed up, and the Spirit taught them to look forward to what might yet be. So birthdays are supposed to be that time where we both remember the last year. But I also hope, no matter how old you are, that it's a year where you look forward to what may happen in the next new year. Because a birthday is always an ending of a past year and the beginning of a new year. So when we go celebrate our birthdays in that room after worship, I hope that all of you think back on what this year has been, but just as importantly, think forward to what the year might yet be. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. It inspires us to think about all the amazing things that we could do, better even than trampolines or laser tag, or even bowling. All right? So before I send you off to Sunday school, let's go ahead and say a prayer. And in fact, this is a prayer that comes from a long, long time ago. It's a prayer that we remember our past, but even remember tomorrow. Let's pull it in. It's called the Lord's Prayer. We'll say it out loud, and if you know it, join in with us. Our Father, Lord.
Hear these words found in the 8th chapter of Paul's triumphant letter to the Romans. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. This is the good news for today. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Friends, will you pray with me? Loving God, source of life and light, oil the hinges of our heart's doors that they might glide easily and gently to welcome your coming. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts. Be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the people in this world who had the most profound effect on my sense of ministry and my understanding of God was an amazing pastor, preacher, and teacher. Her name is Liz Meyer Bolton. And she would often start worship with this phrase. As people of faith, we are called to be many things, but chief among them, we are called to be truth tellers. It was the way she started almost every service, because at the beginning of every service, we engaged in a time of confession that we might let go of all of our burdens and receive the gift of the Spirit. So it is only fair and right that I confess something to you about the sermon you're about to hear. It is only fair and right that I confess to you the place that I come to about a text like this one. When the lectionary text throws out a phrase like spirit of adoption, I lose some sense of objectivity. When I hear this phrase, the spirit of adoption, my scholarly sense, the part that wants to look everything up and exegete it deeply, goes right out the window. Because when we talk about something like the spirit of adoption, I can't help but be very close and intimate with it and find great joy with it. And just so you know, Liz Meyer Bolton cried in every single one of her sermons. And so if I do a little bit of that now, that's not a bad thing either. You see, because when I hear a phrase like the spirit of adoption, what I see in my mind's eye is a hospital room in Wellington, Florida. I see walking into that room hand in hand with John, and over there by the window is a teeny tiny bed under a heating lamp. And there in that bed, I see the most delicate frame I have ever seen before, eyes shut, cap on, fingers somehow stretching out beyond the fringes of a blanket. And in that moment, I felt love grow, hope blossom, and possibility emerged. Because in that tiny bed was Jakey, my son, a boy of choice. You see, this whole relationship, this whole spirit of adoption is about choice. It was a choice made by the one who gave him birth and brought him into this world. It was a choice made by John and I together and our whole families to support us. And it is a choice that we make day by day with him over and over again until that choice becomes something so natural and real and full as me taking my next breath. Behind that choice and the ability for us to live into it is this spirit of adoption that Paul is talking about here. It is a spirit and a choice of homemaking and of family founding. Our attorney in Florida said words over and over again throughout the process, from possibility to birth to that day when sitting in town hall here in Stockbridge, a judge from Florida said that it was legal and irrevocable. And here's what she said. She said, "It is as it always was meant to be. He is your son as he was always supposed to be." She said those words to us and to Jakey, whether we could fully understand it or whether he could either. Because behind them are this idea of mutual claiming, continual choosing until the irrevocable happens, until home is really made and family is truly forged. So you're going to have to forgive me this morning on this day of new beginnings, this day of vision and imagination about who we can be as a church, about making our home together, slowly and surely forming a family, if I'm not entirely objective or exegetical about this text that we just read. For the spirit of adoption is now part of my DNA. It is how I see the whole world. And slowly, over time, the truth of what our attorney has said has settled into my heart in ways that I cannot explain until it is a truth that cannot be shaken. It is a truth I practice and share with him every single time I pick him up, whether I am picking him up because he is full of joy and laughing, or whether I pick him up because he is beside himself and screaming. I whisper that truth honestly in his ears, a truth that bubbles up from a place deeper than I can explain or describe. I say to him, "You are my treasure, my little one, my boop, my son, my love." And I tell him it is how it was always meant to be. And as my son, Paul reminds us, he is my heir. Now, let's be real for a moment. As a pastor, and that doesn't mean he's going to inherit great fortunes or large tracts of land. But that's not what being an heir is all about. What being an heir is all about is that he's going to inherit from me a way of looking at the world, a way of loving, a way of believing, and that he is going to pass that on to his descendants. That is what God did for us through the Spirit, and that is what's happening again this very day. He is. His being my son is a truth so complete that there is not a moment in any day, other than when it comes up like in this lectionary text, that I make any distinction about how he came to be my son. Adoption, procreation. Instead, as my attorney said over and over again, it is as it was always meant to be. He is my son in the complete fullness of what that word means. Together we make home. Together we choose to form and forge a family, not and never in a spirit of slavery or fear, but always in a spirit of love, sharing, and then passing along. Paul says that Spirit allows us to do a few things, and Jakey fully displayed them last night at 3:36 in the morning. Paul says it is that Spirit that allows us to cry out, "Abba, Father." And here's what I believe he meant by that. It is a conviction so deep that when we cry out that, we know that someone will respond, and Jakey, in a slightly bigger room, under a different window, and not a heap lamp, but a little nightlight by his side, when he cries out either "Daddy, Daddy," or "Papa, Papa," he knows that one of us, no matter what time it is going to rush and stumble to find him and see if we can understand what he needs. For he is ours, and we are his, and for together we share that spirit of adoption. So today we talk about this spirit of adoption, this idea of homemaking, of family forming. And I know that each of you have your own stories about homemaking and family forming. And I know that just like in the manse, homes and families are not always perfect. And I know that sometimes we don't always take care of each other's needs. And sometimes that spirit doesn't move fully or quickly enough. And sometimes, rather than whispers of love, there is words of anger or disappointment. Paul found out what it was to live in the spirit of adoption. As he was going along on that road to Damascus, and that bright light blinded him, and Christ himself lifted him up in his arms and said, "You are my treasured one. You, Paul, are my son. Paul, you are my boop, my love." And Paul knew what the spirit of adoption was all about. I got to be honest. In my mind, I sometimes think about heaven, and I see an attorney who looks strikingly similar to our attorney in Florida, going up to God every time someone is born or every time someone chooses to make a deeper connection to faith, and saying to God, she is your daughter, as she always was meant to be. And then watching how that truth becomes reality between God and that person until mutual belovedness is real and clear and apparent and as natural as the next breath, until home is made and family founded in ways that cannot be broken. Henry Nouwen, a more contemporary voice, writes of this spirit of adoption. In his masterpiece, The Life of the Beloved, he claims that our first task as children of God, whether it as a child as small as Jakey or all grown up like Paul, is to listen for that whisper from God that God chooses us, that God claims us as beloved, not for anything that we have done, not because we are laughing or crying, but rather simply because God has chosen the spirit of adoption. God makes that choice over and over again to claim us as treasures, as little ones, as boops, as sons, daughters, and beloved heirs. Nouwen writes that that is our first task, because until we fully and truly do that, until we are able to cry out in the middle of any of our deepest, darkest nights, Abba, Father, and know that something is there to respond, it is only then that we can take that love and share it with others to make this home together, to forge a family together. In Robert Frost's poem, The Death of a Hired Man, there is the haunting story of Silas. Silas was a man who was kicked out by his own blood and king and found himself hired to a farmer that he might find something productive and have worth. Silas was a man whose journey was wide-ranging and painful, a man who eventually got fired by that farmer and had to leave the farm. But just before Silas died, he came back to that farm to have a place to die, because Silas said it was the place where he had found home and family irrevocably and for all time. Home, Frost wrote, is, and I quote, where when you have to go there, they have to take you in, something you somehow haven't to deserve. That is the spirit of claiming, of choice, of adoption, of family, until it becomes as natural as us taking our next breath, all the way up until our last breath and beyond, a place where the spirit allows us to cry out, Abba. And for Paul, just like Nouwen, you need to know the import of such a thing. It is not and never just about each of us, even though it is and always will be. It is also about family, about all of us. In the reading that Amy read, every single pronoun was plural and collective. You, we, us. And every verb is forward-looking. You have received. We are bearing witness. We will be glorified. Heirs not just to a fortune, but to a way of living and believing. And so, this is Pentecost, the day where we celebrate the birthday of the church. The day where we remember the Holy Spirit of adoption, a spirit that dances like flames, a mutual choice made over and over again until it is so strong it cannot be undone, plural and always forward-looking. It is a day where we twirl those hypno-twisters, not just to have fun, but to remember that it was a day like this back in Jerusalem where the flames really did alight above people's heads, as astonishing and surprising as those hypno-twisters were over your own. And you need to know what the Spirit did to that early church. Our story in the call to worship was from the beginning of chapter 2. By the end of chapter 2, it says this. It says that they had become so close together that they sold all they had that they might share it with anybody who were in need. It says that they spent every day together praying and worshiping God and every night together sharing meals. And I have no doubt then that when they went to bed, they claimed each other across the hallway, just like on the Waltons, as beloved. You are my beloved. Good night, John Boy. Good night, Mary Ellen. Luke reports that the spirit of adoption within a short time does its work and does it irrevocably. So today, you're going to have to forgive me if I imagine Pentecost and if I look out and see each and every one of us and all of us together, like that newborn infant in that tiny bed under the heat lamp in the window, eyes shut, cap on, tiny little hands peeking out from under that blanket. Because the reality is, that is what we are. Every single Pentecost, every single time we draw breath, the chance to make another choice to embrace the spirit of adoption until all of us become so close and bound as a family that it is natural as our next breath, until it is unbreakable, until it is irrevocable, no matter what anybody says. Friends, we do all of that here that we might pass it on and become a home where everyone is welcome through these doors, no matter who they are and no matter where they are on life's journey. We do that so that this becomes a place where when you have to go somewhere, we will take you in. Something no one ever has to deserve. Until this place is a place of community, always forward-looking, a place of becoming, a place of closeness, of promise, of comfort and of rest. I pray to the depth of my being that that might be so. Amen. Be seated. I invite you now into a time of silence, that the fullness of your lives and all of your joys and concerns may come before your mind's eye. Invite you to name those joys and name those concerns, to share them with each other, that we might pray for them here in this space and in the days to come. So what are your joys on this day? What are your concerns? Yes, Tristan. We pray for your mother. We lift up Jean Stackhouse. We lift up Enjoy, your new job. And we support you in trying to find even a second one. Other joys and concerns. Yes, Mary Jane. We give a joy that both of your girls will be able to be here for Logan's graduation. Other joys and concerns. Patty. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Julie's grandmother, Trudy Schultz, died last night.
We lift up Trudy's grandmother, Trudy Schultz, who passed away last night. We lift up Trudy and all who mourn her loss. Patty. We lift up joy for, is it your sister and brother-in-law? Who are facing some pregnancy challenges, but the medical results seem to be as good as they could possibly be. Other joys and concerns this morning. Yes. We lift up five young men living in a house in Pittsfield with no electricity. Glenn. A joy indeed that after 2,000 some years, the church is still living and breathing. Yes, Mary Lou. Well, I lift up that joy of knowing Jakey. I also lift up fewer hair and the more gray ones. But I share your joy of knowing Jakey. Yes, Jane. We lift up your great-granddaughter who turned one. Savannah, last Monday. I do want to also lift up to you Betsy McKernan on this day. She has given me permission to tell you that she has sought some medical help up in Vermont. She is staying in a place called the Brattleboro Retreat, getting a little bit of help and guidance. What I would ask you to do is I will be sending out an email tomorrow. The thing she really needs is connection from each and every one of us. I will be running a prayer shawl made by the knitting team up to her tomorrow, but she could use all the cards and all the love and all of the everything you could send her way. And so look for that email. If you do not get email from the church for any reason, give Nancy a call tomorrow in the office and we'd be happy to give you that address, or just bring the letter here and we'll send it for you. But I would ask that you keep Betsy and her family in your prayers as she faces and deals with the depression that was prayed for last week in this church. Any other joys and concerns? Yes, Jeremy. We have joy even for a book as non-happy as Job, and the fact that people came together to study it and learn from it. Casey. Absolutely, we lift up joy and best wishes. I'm not sure what you say to a choral person. Break a leg, some strain a vocal cord, I'm not sure what it is, but our prayers are with you. All right. Let us thank, yes, Tristan. Sure. Thank you, Kathy, a joy that you respond to the music ministry and needs of our people here. Let us take a moment to let all of those prayers onto our hearts and into our minds.
O Holy Spirit, source of creation, come to those who are ill or in trouble to heal them in body, mind, and soul, that they might return to abundant life. O Holy Spirit, mind of God, come to those in power to enlighten their minds with your mercy and wisdom, that their work may reflect and extend your will for all creation. O Holy Spirit, presence of Christ, come to those you call your own to enlighten their minds with your grace and truth, that we may be your hands and feet in this world you love. O Holy Spirit, enlivener and enthuser, come and dance with all those who rejoice. Extend their joy that it may sustain them and inspire them. O Holy Spirit, comforter and companion, come to each and all of us to guide our actions and words, that we may rejoice in your presence and make this world your home and each other our family. We pray all these things through the risen one, through whom all things, yes, all things, are indeed possible. And let us say together, Amen. On Pentecost, the Spirit came and danced on their heads. On Pentecost, the Spirit came and opened their hearts. The Spirit came and they shared with anyone who was in need. In that spirit, let us open our hearts and share from what we have been given. The morning's offering will now be given and received.
Thank you.
stirring and sharing God, we give thee but thine own and ask you to bless these gifts. Bless them with your abundance and grace. Bestow upon them your spirit of adoption. Guide their use and our lives to the glory of your holy name. And let the whole church say, Amen. Friends, at this time, I always issue some invitations. They are generally pretty benign and generally pretty easy. They go like this: come through those doors, and there you will find food and fellowship. And I'm sticking with that one, by the way. Come through those doors, because we are celebrating each and every one of your birthdays. There will be tons of food. There will be lots of cake. It will be great. Come. But today is Pentecost. Today is the day where the Spirit shook everything up. And I see the nervousness on your faces, but it's really not that bad. Here's the invitation I'm going to extend to you. So often, you get to watch the choir walk as they sing. Today, they're going to get to watch you walk as you sing. Here's why. You are decked out in red, and I love it. It is the church alive, and I love it. So whether you're wearing red or not, here's what we're going to do. Cindy is right up there. She is wearing red. If you can't miss her, she has got a camera in her hand. We want a picture of this church on Pentecost, because what's a party without a picture? So here's what we're going to do. On this hymn that is printed in your bulletin, Come, O Spirit. As soon as you start singing, I want you to start walking. I want you to come on up, and I want people who can to fill this area. I want people to fill all this area. Just make sure you can see Cindy so she can see you, because after the singing and after the benediction, we're going to take a picture, because it isn't a party without a picture. So Kathy will play the intro to the hymn. This is an invitation, not a command. But once you start singing, let your feet start moving and come on up. Kathy, hit it. And now receive this blessing. Go out into the world, laboring to bring forth new life. Dream dreams, pursue visions, and speak of God's goodness in the words of those who would hear. And may the God who breathed life into your creation be your delight. May Christ Jesus give hope to your dreaming, and may the Holy Spirit, your advocate and supporter, set your hearts ablaze with a passion for peace. And let the church say, Amen. All right, a couple things before we snap this picture. First, I hope you have a little bit more respect for our choir, who is forced to do that. Not the easiest thing. It's a little harder to sing and walk than it is to chew gum and walk. Amen? Second, this is what happens at every family thing. Let's come forward and towards the front. You can go, let's get in front of the communion table. Get out from underneath those. If you're under the balcony, let's push forward until you're out. We went to get the Sunday school, and so hopefully they have responded. We'll take a couple as a warm-up, and we'll make sure the kids are back in time. Can I help you up the stairs? Okay, all right, you can stay right here then. You have my complete permission.
But you can't see the choir.
All right, Cindy, while the kids are coming back. Oh, here they are. Come on, kids. Come on, come up front, because there are tall people in the back. We won't see you. Come on.
There they are.
Yay. And there are more coming. All right, there are a couple more coming, but let's go ahead and practice. Let's see your greatest smile. Cindy, on the count of three. One, two, three. All right, I'm going to jump in now, and hopefully the kids will be back in just a moment if there are any more coming. And I'm not going to go under. All right, ready? One, two, three. Oh, and here comes some more. Come on in.
Do we need to move in?
Come on in.
Put in.
Okay. So the big kids are choosing because it's about choice. The big kids are staying in Sunday school, or some of them are. All right. Big smiles. Yeah. All right. Come on in. We'll do a couple. Let me make sure everybody's here.
It's all about him.
We got a Photoshop Cindy.
All right. Last call for pictures. If you want to be in it, come on in.
It's true. It is true.
All right. Jane, Patty, Michael, Wendy, come on in for just a minute. We're going to take one picture of the whole church, and then.
What happens in all families, you're always waiting for somebody.
Yeah, somebody, yeah.
You're waiting for somebody.
Yeah, really.
Come on, Gene.
Brent, you want to come up here? Come up here. There you go.
Here we go.
I guess I'll be here. Okay. Brent, come up here. Are we saying cheese?
They were sharing joys. I had to. did yesterday. He hit a home run in the ninth to tie it, and then he hit a double in the 11th to win it. Why is he retiring?
I don't know. Oh, yeah.